I'll tell you the other thing that I didn't feel, let's say, 2 years ago, but I certainly feel it today. And I know it's not perfect, but I believe this tank conversation, whether it's about fans like we had yesterday, whether it's thinking coaches are doing something like today, I do think it's an infection on sports. And it needs to be fixed. It needs to be thrown away. And I know this isn't the perfect remedy, but the NFL needs to not be the only North American professional sport without a lottery. Because I really think that if there was a lottery-based system, I don't think Sean's thinking the things he's thinking. I don't.
Oh, I'm with you.
I think the lottery in the NBA, as much as we still talk about tanking in the NBA, I think it's made it the tanking sort of stupid. Like, you don't guarantee anything. Knicks fans are the experts on that. It doesn't guarantee you anything. Remember that season when Zion, and as much as you thought you deserved it, it's not your fault. The system saw it. The system is set up so that you can't just lose and you're going to get the top pick. The NFL, now that baseball's adopted one, now that the NBA's had one for a million years, now that hockey has one, they are the last major North American sport without a lottery, and these kinds of conversations from fans about themselves, fans about coaches, these questions being asked, I am defending you, Tiki, as the former player. It's got to stop. And the only way we can end it is a lottery.
Well, I mean, yes, you're right. A lottery would help a little bit. But I think there's more needs. The narrative needs to change about the importance of the draft, right? Because we put so much emphasis on, hey, we get this top pick, we get the best player. But sometimes you don't, right? Sometimes there's still a process that goes into picking players in the draft. And so often, coaches and executives and whoever's in charge, they screw that up, right? So I think because we've created this narrative that if you have a high draft pick, you're definitely going to make yourself a better team, it's a fallacy because it doesn't always work. Yeah, sometimes you get a great player, but not all the time. It's a crapshoot with anybody. Doesn't matter where you're picking in the first round, but I think we've created this conversation that the higher you pick, the better your chances are of getting better. That's not true. So many other things go into getting better than just getting a high draft.
I agree, but you can't win that conversation. Because
of course you can't, but I'm just speaking real.
No, you
are. I'm just speaking from a locker room standpoint. Like whoever this players are, I don't care. This guy comes in. They're not saying, oh, this guy's our savior. Oh, we just drafted Michael Penix from Washington. We're saved. Thank God. Oh, we're going to be amazing. The players don't think that way.
No, I agree.
So
with
I don't know why fans and everybody else thinks that way.
Well, that's why you fix it this way. Watch this. I'm going to show you an easy solution. Very easy. Hey, Sean, new rule in the NFL. If you miss the playoffs, you have the same percentage chance of getting the number one pick as every other team that missed the playoffs. It's a nice, even-based lottery. Do you want to beat the Eagles on Sunday?
Beat them by four.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. I win.
No, but I'm with you. I won a lottery.
I just solved it. I don't know. I'm glad you won it, but I think that would solve this because this isn't good.
What has a better chance of happening? Hitting an extra point at Tyrod Taylor, screwing up in short yardage again like he's done all season long. Again, if he makes it, he converts it. I don't think Brian Daboll's upset that they win the game and it worked because then he looks like smart, looks like a genius. But I think that now that they are eliminated, Brian Daboll last week coached where if we win, we win. But I'm going to do some kooky things here. And if we lose, it's not the worst thing in the world. So if that's not labeled tanking, I don't whatever. But that's the style of coaching Daboll went with at the end of the Ram game. And I think we're going to see more of that if this game is tied on Sunday.
Okay, so what you're saying now is very different than what you said 3 minutes ago. If playing aggressive to lose, and not to win, you're playing aggressive to win because you have nothing to lose. Right? Honestly, I believe that's what Coach Daboll did last weekend. It was, we're going to play aggressive. If we get an opportunity to go for two or do some things that we don't traditionally do, if this game meant more than it actually did, then we wouldn't do those things. But they have nothing to lose. So why not be aggressive? Why not try to go for two? Why not try to find whatever little advantage and put your guys in positions to test them and test, your Mike Kafka and his game planning in those situations? Very rarely do you get those perfect situations to play those things. Now, when the game doesn't matter, you can do that. But that's not intentionally saying I'm trying to lose. I think he's saying I'm trying to win do it in an aggressive way.
So call this what you want, Tiki, because I get the idea of you're eliminated. Hey, do whatever you can. Let's get nuts. Let's get crazy, which is we're kind of saying the same thing. If you're going to deliver.
Yes, no, we're not, because playing aggressive to win is not playing aggressive, and if you don't win, you're fine with losing.
But then why would would you not coach that way in September and October then?
Because the games mean something in September and October.
Well, there you
right?
go.
You're still in it, right? You still have a chance. And by the way, a lot of coaches do coach that way, and it works for them. But the only reason it works is because they've done it, right? In their minds, they know how to in those situations, make those really hard decisions and with confidence and therefore execute, right? It's just I think you're positioning this as Coach Dabbs is okay with losing, and I know that's not a fact.
Well, if he wasn't okay with losing, then he would coach like that all the time. In theory, he must be at least somewhat okay with losing if he's going to change that style and go, we're eliminated, who cares, let's go crazy.
I think being okay with losing and playing to lose, coaching to lose, are very different things.
Okay.
And that's where you're getting me, because he wants to win. There's no doubt about it.
Well,
it's the only thing that matters.
I will call it like this, Tiki. If he truly wants to win, and everything you saw Sunday tells me he truly wants to win, then maybe he's not the right head coach.
No,
hold on. Because I think he's the right head coach. Because we're going away from my initial point. Mason Crosby cannot connect field goals at his age of 50 or more yards.
Sean.
And he coached to make sure that field goal wasn't inside 50
criticizing
yards.
Criticizing that final few plays is far different than saying he did it purposely to lose. And I'll tell you another reason. And I'm not sure, Tiki, you're going to fully agree with what I'm about to say. But there's another reason why what you're saying, Sean, is lunacy. And I'm going to use yourself as a comparison.
Sure.
Okay, the architect who runs everything around here, he likes you. He gave you a contract. You have a contract that extends until what? Next year, something like that?
I mean, do you want to share?
I'm asking you. Is it next year? Whatever the hell your contract.
I got a 2.5-year deal. All right.
Okay, so you've got a contract.
Oh, you have more job security than me.
What does that say, Teak? Best start following my theories.
But as much job security as you think you have, would you have the confidence to come on the radio and purposely lose and purposely tank and purposely have rating points go down? Well, I'm doing it because by having a worse rating, I get, I don't know, a bigger bonus for the spring book or whatever you want to come up with. No, because there's a chance the architect's going to say, you know what? It ain't that good. I'm getting rid of you. Now, I don't think it's likely, Tiki, that John Mara is waking up on Monday and firing Brian Daboll. But Brian Daboll, and I like him, and I believe in him, has not done enough to have the self-confidence to purposely lose games and think that the owner of the team is going to be good with it.
Yes.
And I think that's the comparison I would make to you.
That's a good way to put it, Evan, because that would be like Bill Belichick in year 6 or 8 after a couple of Super Bowl wins. Like, yeah, you know what? Tom Brady's hurt. Yeah, we need a better draft pick. He could get away with it. Brian Daboll's not getting away with that in year 2. You're right, Ev.
But if you do it in a way in which I'm suggesting it happen where, well, I mean, think about it. You guys don't agree. I'm sure there's callers that don't agree, but there's plenty of people I talk to that looked at it and said, that seemed a little weird that he coached that way. If you do it, it's a threading of the needle. Hey, we win. I look great as a coach. We win. We lose. Deep down, me and the general manager, kind of know that's probably best right now.
So basically, Brian Daboll pulled an Aaron Rodgers. He left it up to interpretation.
Yes. Master manipulator in the play calls.
And so Sunday afternoon against the Philadelphia Eagles, is the same thing going to happen?
Yes. The game dictates, right? He's not going to go down and lay down the swords in the first quarter. But if the Eagles have a slight lead with 2 minutes left, do I think certain plays might be designed certain ways where, hey, let's not make it easy on ourselves? I think so, sure, because I just saw it on Sunday.
Mm. Did you not sleep well last night?
No, I slept great, baby.
Right?
He is so convinced himself that the Giants need to lose because he wants them to lose.
Yes.
And we had that discussion yesterday.
Yes, he's trying to convince himself in any way possible that Dabbs is on his
right.
side.
Yes, he's trying to convince himself because he felt dirty as a fan yesterday going to sleep after we had this tanking discussion. Hey, the coach agrees with me.
If you get to the point where you got 3 or 4 people you talk to that you trust as good football minds, that all, without knowing, you have the same theory.
Who is good football minds? minds. Right.
One of them can't be Loogie, by the way.
Yeah, Loogie's disqualified.
Why am I disqualified?
He's a good fan.
Because I think it goes deeper than that. When Dable went to Taylor, he said, we're going to Tyrod because he gives us the best chance to win, yet he coached the game at the end not to win. It goes deeper than this. They don't want the veto. They don't want the smoke. They want him out of here. Tyrod gets an opportunity to play a little bit, show he could still play. He signs with another team. Dable gets his loss. The veto goes away, and they stick with Jones or draft a quarterback. That's what's going on here.
That's what's going on.
Mason Crosby's not hitting a field goal for 55
yards.
Like,
it sounds like what you're actually saying is we can't manipulate Tommy DeVito because Tommy DeVito is going to want to win.
Bingo.
He's Tommy DeVito. Well, whereas Tyrod Taylor, who I've known for years, I can say, hey, T, just throw this one in the dirt.
You guys are right.
No. That's not what happened.
That's what it sounds like you're intimating.
What really is happening, though, and if you've watched enough Tyrod Taylor, you know, Tyrod Taylor gives you the best chance in tight games to lose.
Oh, God.
So, Giant fans, don't worry. Even if you're close against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, Brian Daboll will make sure you lose and will make sure you get the best draft pick possible. I think what's happened, unfortunately, with fans over the last 10 years is we've all lost our minds.
Lost your damn minds,
Evan. We've lost our minds.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.